That'll work.
Without
too.
Him.
That'll work.
Oh, I'm a fan.
I like that better. I like it better. Go ahead, Pastor. Add that to my favorite. That's the one I love.
Oh, you know, when you get caught up, you just miss everything. Your mind don't switch like you used to switch. You know, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, boy.
I thank God for all that He gives us. My sister Vivian might be on the phone. Sister, did I mess up too bad? Oh man, she's a singer in our family. She let me know just how I did. See, I told you. Stay out of deep water with them.
That's all right.
Man. Praise God. We are today Communion Sunday.
Yes.
My sermon is about communion. Mm-hmm. Might not be something that sets you on fire, but it's just a reminder of what the blood of Jesus means to us. The blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about.
The blood.
If you have your Bible, you turn to the 9th chapter of Hebrews. Ninth chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews is a New Testament book, but an Old Testament later.
Come on.
It's in the back, closer to the rear of your Bibles, near James and whatever. So, just before James. So, if you look at it, the 9th chapter, and I'm going to ask Deacon Smith to read. Can you get it up there, Deacon? Yeah. The 9th chapter, verses 11 through 14. Of Hebrews, 9th chapter of Hebrews, verses 11 through 14.
But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you, sir. Well read. Praise the Lord. I tell you, those chapters, those verses there said something there. If you missed it, I'm going to try to explain it. But I know I'll mess it up because this word is so... Words are in there not for just happenstance.
No.
Come on, Reverend.
When he put that word in there, it's once.
Once.
Now, when he put it once,
yes, sir.
He let me know something.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Once. This whole person had to do it once.
Yes, sir.
The priest had to do it every year. Make an offering. Once. That was it.
Yes.
Whatever he did. When he saved you, he got to save you three or four times. Save you once.
Come on, brother.
Come on.
And that's it. When he does it, it's done right.
It's done right.
There are in the church, Christian church, two ordinances that we hold dearly to. One is baptism, and the other is communion. Those to the Christian church are a symbol of how much Jesus means to us. When one is baptized, the Bible says that we are buried with him and raised.
Come on.
Signifying that Christ himself was buried and he raised. He arose. The blood is signifying that there's a cleansing going on in the life of the sinner. The sinner has to be cleansed. And we cannot be cleansed by nothing but the blood of Jesus. Everything else they try just in last. But the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Now look at this here. Now you think about back in the old days in Moses' time, the Bible said they had over 400 some laws and they had to follow. We got Jesus narrowed this thing down. Two communion, and then to love thy father, love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself.
Come on.
You do those things.
Come on.
And keep up with this here. It's over with, church.
You were listening to my talk last night.
You got it straight right there.
Wow.
And some people just think it's a whole lot more to it, but that's all it is.
Wow.
It's just doing what? These things that God has claimed for us to do. Why does blood have to be involved in the Christian faith? Bible says, without the shedding of blood,
there's no remission or canceling.
The word remitting is not what we use all the time, but the word canceling of our sins.
Right.
Without the shedding of blood. Now listen, even the shedding of the blood of the goats and the calves that he used to do, it was temporary. Showing a light of what was to come. Those goats and blood weren't doing it, but they were showing what was going to happen. So we know that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiving of sins.
Come on.
The natural blood that we have in our bodies cleanses our body of its ailments. The blood will carry out things in your. That's why if your blood is not, matter of fact, people who had COVID, they call it septic.
Yeah.
You heard that term? Mm-hmm. That in other words, their blood gets saturated with the illness and it cannot carry the oxygen to the lungs because the blood has been saturated. This is the problem with what COVID does. So, the natural blood has to be cleansed. And so does the spirit man blood. The blood of Jesus does the same thing on the spiritual level. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
And if he did not die on the cross, then we would not have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. He had to die. And not him, and not just him, only him alone. Not anyone else could now have taken his place.
Right.
You could think, I could take his place. No priest. It had to be Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one that was sinless.
Amen.
Had to be him who had done no sin to be sanctified and set apart for the reducing or removing of the sin of mankind.
Thank you, Jesus.
Only Jesus could have done.
Thank you, Lord.
That just tells you how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
How powerful he is.
Yes.
Glory to God.
verse 12, if you have your Bible, it says this. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, so the goats and all that stuff that they use, but by his own blood, he entered in how many times?
Once
into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now what happened when he went into the Holy of Holies? The Bible says when he went into the Holy of Holies, there was this shield, this veil, that separated God from man. And the Bible said he rent it in two.
Hallelujah.
And from when he rent it in two, there now is no division for you and I to go to God. We don't need the priest. We don't need anybody because Jesus has made a way for us to go directly to God and talk to God, our Savior, our God, without anybody coming in and saying, no, no, you can talk to God for yourself just like anybody else.
That's right.
That's what the blood of Jesus allowed to happen. Even Aaron, the brother of Moses, could not have done it. Even Moses himself had no authority. Lord. Only Jesus could have done what Jesus has done. So we need to understand that this is because Jesus is the true Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
He was the perfect Lamb.
Yes, sir.
Lamb without blemish.
Mm-hmm.
Without spot.
Yes, sir.
He alone could walk into the Holy of Holies. And they didn't have to tie something around his ankle like they want to do to the high priest. The high priest went in there because if he sinned so bad and done it wrong, he would die in there and they would have to drag him out because anybody went in there was going to go down. But Jesus said, here am I. Walk in that I am that I am. Walk in the Holy of Holies. Let him know that he's the one and he only that could intervene between God and man. He's the interceder for you and me to God our Father. Without Jesus, I could do nothing. Without him, I would fail. So that's why we have this communion thing going on, so that we can make sure that we have this relationship right with God. There's strength in that name of Jesus also. Even though he does cleansing, he gives us strength. He also has delivered us from sin having dominance over our lives. Even though the Christian might tell you, well, I got stuff going on, I can't do it over, because you haven't turned it over to Christ. But if you turn yourself fully over to God, God will see you through everything that goes on. If you just let him have control, he will see you through everything there is. Because the power is in the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That song said, there's power, wonderful work and power. That song that was right.
Yeah.
In the blood of the Lamb. That power in that blood. Jesus is that deliverer. He delivered us from whatever our lives are dealing with. If you have drug issues, Jesus can deliver you.
Hallelujah.
Addictions, he can deliver you. Alcohol, he can deliver you. There's cleansing power in that blood of the Lamb. There's something about this Holy of Holies that I also want to share with you, because in the Holy of Holies, these are the things that were in there, supposedly, so that they would know what was going on. First is the Ark of the Covenant.
Come on.
That really symbolized God. Matter of fact, on the Ark, it had the wings, the cherubim wings of the angels facing each other. As a matter of fact, on one occasion, they were carrying the ark, and one of the men slipped.
That's right.
And somebody tried to grab it to hold it, and the man said, the man dropped it. Because the Holy of Holies could only be touched by who God had ordained, and they had to be priestly. So these men had to have that power. If you weren't that, and the right priest, you were in trouble.
I know.
So the Ark of the Covenant is what was in there. Then there was something called the showbread.
Yes.
Come on.
It was normally 12 loaves, and each loaf represented the tribes of Israel. So they had the 12 tribes in it. They had the 10 commandments, which was what? The
representing the Holy Spirit. But see, all these things are important. But here's what it is. All these things really symbolize Jesus. Jesus carried everything that I just mentioned to the Holy of Holies. He carried it with him. Because the Bible says that Jesus is God. So the Ark of the Covenant, we said it was God. Jesus is God. So he's the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus is the what called the bread of life. The bread of life. That's who Jesus was. So the showbread was symbolized by Jesus. Then we have the Word of God. Jesus called what? The Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is the Word. So he had everything going into the Holy of Holies. And last but not least, he was the Holy Ghost. Jesus carried in him the symbol of the Holy Spirit. He had all power in his hand like the Holy Ghost. Jesus could do whatever he wanted to do.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
So Jesus was symbolizing all of these things in the Holy of Holies. So when he walked in, this is what he carried. He carried everything that was sitting as the furniture of the Holy of Holies. He was the Holy of Holies. He was the Son of God. He was the Ark of the Covenant. He was the showbread. He was the Spirit of God. He was all in all. Jesus was that. Ain't nobody like Jesus. That's why we take this covenant. That's why we take this blood thing. We got to do it. We got to take communion. Because it's reminding and symbolizing of the Son of God who died for you and for me. The Son of God. I'm so glad that he is able to do what he and he alone has done. But I think we forget sometimes. We take him for granted.
Yeah.
Come on. We take him for granted. Somebody said, no, not me, Pastor. No, I don't take it for granted. We all do. We take it for granted. We think that he's going to just, whatever we done wrong, okay. He's going to wave that and say, well, the blood of Jesus. And that's what he does. He cleanses us.
What?
He keeps cleansing us. How many times does he forgive us? If he tells you to forgive 7 times 70 a day, guess what? He's doing way more than that. And that's what he does. And we just thank God that he's standing in our stead.
Yes, he is.
That he is this bread for you and me.
Thank you, Lord.
The bread of life. All things through Christ Jesus. That he died for you and me. So when we take communion, be reminded of what he has done. The one thing that hurt him most, and we've learned this about this in our Bible study. If you got Bible study, we have Bible study on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
I know some of you don't really pay attention to that, but 7 o'clock on Wednesday, we're in the Jeremiah right now.
Teleconference.
Teleconference. Yeah. The phone number's on the line. You want to look for it? Look up Solid Rock, and you might see our teleconference online where we have it. But I tell you, if you would just think about how in Jeremiah's the big complaint God had with Israel was that they seem to always pick up these false gods. God does not look kindly.
He ain't sharing
on false gods. Amen. He ain't sharing. That's a good word. He does not take kindly to false gods. That's the whole thing that this book of Jeremiah is showing. He does not like that.
Yeah.
You can do a whole lot of things wrong. But don't pick up another God and say that's my God. That Bible's hard, real big. We know that from the Word. We're in about the 14th chapter now. This whole book is talking about how Israel just did not come to God and pick up these false gods. And see, most times we think about some God that, you know, they did have idols, they made idols. But some of the other things we put in our lives,
come on, our false gods, come on.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
We trust in other things. We should be trusting and depending on Jesus.
Amen.
That's our false god. We depend on our own strength. Like, I can make it, and I know what I can do. You don't know what you do. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And anytime you put somebody before God, you have put yourself in a false God relationship.
My Lord.
And God said, you have no other God before me.
Amen.
No other God.
Amen. Amen.
He is I am that I am that I am. And nobody can take his place. And see, that's why Jesus could do what he did. Because he is God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. And he came to stand. And the Bible clearly says that even when Jesus died on the cross, the one thing he himself felt, the separation from his Father.
All right.
Was the most devastating thing he had to do. He took the sins of the world, but when he took the sins of the world, that separated him. Because the Bible says God himself could see no sin. And he separated us. So Jesus had to separate from his Father. But then he said, I got up with all power in my hands. He got up, rose from the grave, and he knew who he was.
Yeah.
Defeated Satan in hell. All this was done by the blood. If they had not shed his blood, he would not have died. And he could not have done what he did. He had to die. Then to go down and defeat Satan. Then rose from the grave with all power. He had to die.
Yes, sir.
And when he had to die, that means somebody's blood had to be shed. And just as I close, I want to remind you that if you even look in Genesis, where Adam and Eve were, you'll find that there was skins given to them, to Adam and Eve because of their sin. And those skins represented that somebody's blood had been shed. And nobody saw what God did, but he gave them coverings of sheepskins to cover them goatskins. Because Adam and Eve was using fig leaves to cover up their nakedness. But God said, that's not enough. Anybody with fig leaves ain't going to do it. You need bloodshed. And that bloodshed was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I can talk about this all day long because this is what it's all about, church.
Yes.
This is about Jesus. What he done for us. And I know we've all been through our pains and our heartaches and our sorrows. And we say, where was God when I needed him? Where was God? He was right by your side. He was right by your side. He stands by you. No matter what you're going through, he is a way maker. He breaks the bands of wickedness. He's our God, and beside him there is none other.
Yes, sir.
Thank God that we had Jesus.
Yes.
We have Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Aren't you glad about it, church?
Amen.
Let's give God a hand, praise.
Amen. Amen.